Welcome to Founders in Biotech. In this podcast, biotech entrepreneurs share their founders' journey and scientific achievements. I'm your host, Sergey Glinka. Today's guest is Kiyoshi Takayama. Kiyoshi Takayama has received a PhD in pharmaceutical science from the University of Tokyo. After his PhD, he worked for more than 12 years as a research scientist at Taisho Pharmaceutical in Japan. Well, there he was involved in the development of G-protein-coupled receptors, short GPCRs, as assays and conducted various drug discovery programs for chronic inflammation and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, short COPD. But in 2006, Kiyoshi left Taisho, which I'm excited to talk with him about, and founded NB Health Laboratory, a technology platform company for the generation of functional monoclonal antibodies targeting these receptors, GPCRs. NB Health Laboratory is pioneering a new field of GPCR-targeted drug discovery by targeting GPCRs specifically for lipid mediator ligands using the monoclonal antibodies. Thank you so much, Kiyoshi, for joining us on Founders in Biotech today.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the deep introduction.
We would like to learn more about you, your experience with education, and what did you study, where and why, and what inspired you to become a scientist?
Initially, I studied in the pharmaceutical science in the Tokyo University. I spent almost 6 years in the pharmaceutical science field. And at that time, I studied to the generation of the monoclonal antibody in university. And my first paper is the generation of some monoclonal antibody for the enzyme. And it was so very nice technology, but almost 13 years ago, nobody cared about the antibody is a as a modality for the medicine. And then I entered to the classical, so-called classical small molecule company, Taisho. And so my background is almost 1989, I remember first paper for the monoclonal antibody. This is the first my monoclonal antibody, which has a functional monoclonal antibody. And then at that time, I don't have any skill to from the lead monoclonal antibody to medicine. So totally forget. But 13 years later, I start on my company to generate new monoclonal antibody.
Oh, that's interesting. So already at the university as a student, you generate, you're in touch with generation of monoclonal antibodies. So could you, if possible, talk a bit about more your PhD? What was the topic?
Yes, so this is also our major target. My PhD program is lipid mediator. So it's called, so that, for example, the prostaglandin, lysolipid, and it is a good target for the inflammation and cancer. So I discovered the new enzyme which produced such a lipid mediator named hoslipase A2. Now very famous enzyme, and it is target for the aspirin and other anti-inflammatory agent. And I found my target, and then I start to generate monoclonal antibody toward this target. At that time, there is no inhibitor for such a target. But surprisingly, I generate monoclonal antibody which has inhibit our target enzyme, so that I feel the potential that antibody is a good modality to even the enzyme to, so maybe if we, I have a humanized technology or developed technology, I want to develop the new inhibitor instead of small molecule. That my PhD students' theme. And after then, many company tried to generate small molecule for our target, but it is quite difficult. But antibody has very rapidly generate the antagonist compound. So almost 13 years ago, I know that potential that antibody is a new modality instead of the small molecule.
That's very interesting. So I'm come more from the small molecule world, but we'll take a deeper dive in a minute. But so you have a successful PhD, you have a successful career at Taisho where you work with GPCRs, but then after 12 years, you decide to start an own company where you have a successful career, which is then the question, why would you start an own company? And many people think you have a safe job in a corporate world. And then you say, I want actually to do something different. What was the trigger to do that?
Yes, so many my colleague and many friends said Kiyoshi is kind of a mutant of Japanese salaryman. And 99% of Japanese the salaryman and the employee joined to the big company, they never think such a my career. So all of them, Japanese colleagues say, you are stupid. But before leaving the Taisho, I spent 2 years in the Brigham Women's Hospital in Cambridge, Boston. Mm-hmm. And my previous mentor said, oh, Kiyoshi, it's congratulations, they said. So I think very encouraged me to the establish new business. The trigger is I have two triggers. So one is I spent 2 years in Boston area, and they have a good ecosystem, and they have a society, a company, big company, and Harvard Medical School, MIT, and then a venture company. They survived to three type of companies or organizations survive and interact very, very unique. So that first trigger is I want to become joined to such an environment in Japan. So this is a one trigger. And second trigger is Taisho is nice company, and when I enter to Taisho, they spend a lot of money discover new target or discover genome science, but we didn't have any good success track record. And then our director and top changed to the business model, more conservative. This is a second trigger, so that I want to do the fasting class, and I want to do the new thing. So two trigger, I have two trigger, and then I start to own my company. But initially, I didn't think about have a laboratory, and now I have a 20 employee. So initially, I just doing the consultation, and I just private company. But now I have 20 people, and something happened to that. We are challenging to become a global biotech company.
Absolutely. So I like also the first trigger that, did I understand it correctly? You wanted to create also an ecosystem similar that you experienced in Boston, also in Japan. And we can talk about this later. I think that's very important, because such ecosystems are inspiring when you see that science can be developed fast into something that is tangible. But let's take a deeper dive into the technology and how you discover monoclonal antibodies. So most GPCRs are addressed by small molecules in chronic diseases. So you said you have been able to develop monoclonal antibodies for the receptors early on. Were they superior compared to small molecules in their action or affinity? So feel free to use very specific and technical terms here.
So this is from my experiment. So during Taisho, I conducted a GPCR project, several GPCR project, to generate small molecule. And we spent a huge money to high throughput screening, and indeed we could get the lead compound to bind the target, and they have some functional, but we have some problem to the optimization due to the small molecule has not good for the ADME profiling or soon bind to the protein, and sometimes a small molecule bind another target, we say off target. So many cases we drop the project, not the functionality or binding, but drop due to the side effect or toxicology and ADME profile. So that I have a many unsuccess failure to, so that I change my mind to the antibody itself, very simple the ADME profile in body, and also they have a very selectivity toward the target. So that even the GPCR, if we generate monoclonal antibody, antibody can overcome potential problem which a small molecule has. And so their biggest pharmaceutical company, Takeda has keen interested GPCR 20 years ago, when they generate a small molecule, a lot of small molecule entered clinical test. But most of them drop due to the side effect or adverse event or off target. So I think target itself is good, but the modality, small molecule, has limited to the launch, for the launching. So that I change idea from small molecule to GPC antibody.
Yeah, so I understand. So the idea is to overcome the problems that small molecules have when you enter clinical trials, and with the GPCRs, you have also a challenging issue with agonist, antagonist, partial antagonist. So it's becoming very complex, and we have a lot of GPCRs in our body, and may I ask if you can talk about, during your time at Taisho, have you proposed this strategy actually to...
Yes. So Taisho itself, prior to leaving Taisho, they decide to invest to the biologics. But I think 2 years before leaving Taisho, I propose that that antibody I want to generate to the antibody for the membrane protein, GPCR, and indeed, Taisho, they didn't allow me to the start new project, but they accept to me to start as a research tool to generate monoclonal antibody targeting GPCR. And I spend 1 year to generate the monoclonal antibody targeting specific GPCR. But that was almost 19 years ago. I don't have enough technology to generate. So which we already have currently, so that I couldn't obtain any good, even the research tool. We couldn't generate monoclonal antibody target GPCR.
I understand. It was not fast enough and effective enough for you to move inside the organization. And from what I learned, if someone is establishing a new scientific direction, you have to go all in and really focus and move fast so you can get the data and the results to validate the hypothesis. And let's go back a bit to lipid mediator GPCRs. So why are they difficult to target also with monoclonal antibodies compared to peptide receptors or chemokine receptors?
Yes. So you can imagine so that the antibody is so big, and if the bind to the GPCR for chemokine and peptide, so big antibody can easily block to access to the chemokine or peptide. But lipid mediator is so small, and if bind to the, even if the antibody bind to the GPCR, they have many space to enter to small molecule to the GPCR. So that our first antibody targeting GPCR for the lipid mediator, this antibody pinpointly bind to the pocket, very, very small pocket. So, but if it challenged to the chemokine GPCR, peptide GPCR, they can, antibody is so huge, so that they can compete to the chemokine or small peptide. So that I said chemokine receptor, right now, including us, many companies tried to the chemokine GPCR antibody, and I think approximately three is in clinic. But lipid mediator GPCR is so difficult.
Okay, it's probably that the ligand of the receptor is aliphatic or linear, and it can diffuse into the binding pocket. So you have
bind
to
the
block,
pocket.
Block specifically the binding pocket.
Yes, and, exactly.
And the challenge is there. So the typical way to create monoclonal antibodies is this hybridoma approach, but your company is doing something different.
Yes. So usually the people generate monoclonal antibody, we need a protein, purified protein, to immunize for screening, etc. But you can imagine that the GPCR is too difficult to purify from the membrane.
Yes,
especially to keep the structure, the native structure, almost impossible. And also, if you try to ELISA to screen the antibody, so we need a purified very, very purified, high purified protein, but it is difficult. So that instead of protein, we use the plasmid, which express the GPCR in cell or in vivo. And even if we cannot purify the protein perfectly, we just need a sequence itself. And now messenger RNA vaccine for COVID-19 is popular. I said the ancient method is the plasmid itself. So currently messenger RNA, but our method is the ancient of the messenger RNA system. We inject to the plasmid, which express translate to the target in muscle cell, and muscle cell express the target in native, and then the antigen presenting cell access to the target GPCR. This is a two step need to the plus messenger RNA, but the concept is very similar.
Yeah, I understand. So the second question would be, once the muscle cells produce the receptor,
yes,
how is the immune system is triggered to develop antibodies against this receptor?
Good question. So we fuse some protein from the E. coli, and this protein kind act as an adjuvant effect. So if we inject just for the GPCR itself, human GPCR has a highly homology to the mice or other GPCR, so that we fuse some protein from E. coli, and then we can increase immunogenicity, and then the immune system trigger to recognize target GPCR as a new antigen.
Yeah, and you have IP for the technology and for this approach that we have discussed. Is this the way you've been able to with your team to identify monoclonal antibodies for lipid mediator GPCRs? That is more specific. I'm fascinated by immune reaction in general, but it's actually a statistical process, right? So the body generates many versions, right? So was this approach more successful compared to others because you trigger a stronger reaction and a higher variety of antibodies where you can then select the best ones?
Yes, exactly. So using the protein or using, so some company, some researcher can purify the protein, but this is one aspect of the structure. But using the DNA immunization, the in vivo, they express many type of structure and many structure depend on the pathophysiological condition, so that our library of the monoclonal antibody target GPCR so variety. So some of the N-terminal bind, some of the bind to the extracellular domain, etc. And some antibody has a fully antagonist, someone is a partial antagonist. So exactly, DNA immunization method allow us to get a diverse library of potential antibody.
Okay, and as the next step, you probably, just to finalize this thought, you select for mechanism of action, whether it's an agonist, antagonist, partial,
Yes.
And also the affinity probably, right?
Yes. So our key strategy, in first screening is find the binder of the target. And one campaign, we can get 100 or 200 unique binder. After then, we profile, we characterize, so 100 antibody using a functional assay. Mm-hmm. And then we found that this is a just binder, or this is a fully antagonist, and this is a biased antagonist. Mm-hmm. To be honest, the fully agonist for the GPCR antibody is still challenging. We don't have any success track. We have a modulator, accelerate to the with small amount of with the existence of small amount of ligand, but so far we cannot generate to the fully agonist GPCR antibody. This is our challenging, and my staff is now challenging, and maybe the pharmaceutical company have keen interest, and every time they ask me to the, how about the agonist antibody?
Full agonist. Yeah. It's probably you need a activated DNA sequence that has some mutation, stabilizes a certain conformation.
Yes, exactly. So right now, initially, we just immunize the GPCR without any mutation as a plasmid. But recently, as you guessed, that we mutate some very intracellular or membrane integrate point to, and then some fix some structure, and some cases we can get a weak agonist, but this is not good for the therapeutic purpose. But this is a way, this is a very promising way to add the mutation.
Yeah, very interesting. I need to switch gears. One last question regarding the technology, which you can share in a non-confidential way. Could you talk about the milestones that have been achieved so far with since you started the company in 2006? Because it's actually a long journey, right?
Yes.
With the company. So what were the milestones where you say this is, from the scientific point of view, was a breakthrough or maybe an application of the antibodies you have discovered that were quite positive and surprising?
So my company has a long history, almost 17 years old. I changed my business model to the several times. So in the first 10 years, we provide a service as a CRO, providing the service for generate monoclonal antibody or develop the assay system for the screening. But in the parallel, we developed to the DNA immunization method and other method. So approximately 7 years ago, from 2016, we can dramatically change to the business model from CRO to drug discovery company. And most latest technology established in 2018, just 5 years ago. From that point, we accelerate to generate the new monoclonal antibody target GPCR. And we have almost 10 or 12 pipeline. And my first milestone is license out to the global pharma, especially the antibody itself. We can get the fix a final sequence. And our antibody itself kind of a classical antibody. So instead of us, the company, biotech company or big company can rapidly generate the manufacturing and clinical tests. So that our first milestone, the pharmaceutical company or big biotech company recognize our antibody so nice. And this, they have a potential to enter to the manufacturing clinical test. And future our milestone that we will conduct clinical tests by ourselves, because I feel that modality itself the unique, but also in our company think about a new therapeutic concept or a new therapeutic strategy. So I want to prove the concept in human, not animal, so that we have a 10 project, but one of the 10 I want to for the clinical test by ourselves and to prove the concept. And if we can prove the concept, we can enjoy to the many times to new type of GPCR antibody, because our platform itself is can accept applicable for any type of GPCR mAb, cancer, metabolic diseases, lipid mediator, GPCR, big proteins. So initially we should once prove the concept, we can enter, our antibody can enter the clinical test, or big global pharma recognize our quality of our antibody quality. That's my milestone.
That's, initial that's very milestone. Exciting. That's very exciting. So I didn't know that you started as a CRO, but during the time as a CRO, you have those patterns that you, the IP that you develop, then you switch the model. And
yes.
I mean, within 5 years, having 12 assets in the pipeline that you offer for partnering at this stage is a tremendous achievement, I would say.
Yeah, thank you. And also that we can get a fund from the venture capital in Japan, also from China, so over outside of Japan. So this it was triggered by the achievement of the new technology platform.
Yeah. Very exciting. It takes a long time. Let's switch. Thanks for sharing the technological part of the company, and let's get more practical as entrepreneurial. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about practical aspects of starting a company. And looking back on your, for example, your time at Taisho, what skills and skill set was really helpful, what you learned there that was applicable in your own company?
Yes, so Taisho is a little bit small company, and so that I had many task role in Taisho, especially as a project management. So I think my experiment project as a project management in Taisho is very useful to manage to the company. So because I learned to the how much need to conduct some experiment, and how do you organize to the team at that time I have a medicinal chemist, pharmacologist, and any type of researcher, and I conduct to the project. And also, Taisho is a small company, and also I learned about the patent, intellectual properties strategy. And during Taisho, I learned about how to submit the intellectual property, or how do you arrange to the IP, and when the best timing to submit the intellectual property, or how do you control. So that was very important to the biotech company. And I learn by myself and I commit to submit the several patent in Taisho, and I write the drafting, and I negotiate to the patent attorney and negotiate to the patent government patent office, so that I have a lot of experience to, to the patent. And indeed, still our patent strategy is so very strong, and so that our initial patent broke to the other competitor. So I think a project managed experiment and also IP learning IP strategy is very helpful. It was very, very helpful.
Biotech, makes sense. And what, when you started your company, what other skills did you have to learn from the scratch, like completely new?
Completely new is how to get the money.
So fundraising.
Fundraising. So during staying Taisho, we just negotiate with a supervisor or a director to get the fund. And even the big mid-sized pharmaceutical company, they have a plenty enough research budget. So just negotiate. And if we run short of the budget during the year, so we can request to increase the budget. But after I established on my company, the fundraising, every time tough, and this is very, very tough. But very luckily, I can survive to 17 years. So we can, so initially, we, as I said, we have a revenue from CRO business. Yeah. And also for the basic research for the, to establish new technology, Japanese government grant, the support grant, research grant. So, and the first 10 years, we didn't accept the venture capital money, the fund. After almost establishing our new technology, and then we got fund from venture capital.
Okay. So you have a mixed model, revenue, grants, you grow, and then you enter a different phase. Okay.
Yes. And then the very important thing, and after we can get the fund from the venture capital, I trust to the CEO business. I never continue the CRO business. So I think we focus on the drug discovery. So that's the point. So some Japanese biotech company still conducted the CRO business, so that they sometimes focus the CRO business, and they speed down to the drug discovery.
It's a challenging balance. There are not many companies that manage to do that, and it's so many factors that can. But personally, I think they should operate completely separately. Otherwise, you have competition. You compete for resources, and this is not good for the science, because but if you have a separate, I think this can work much better.
Yes, I think so.
So you have your company in Sapporo,
yes,
right? And so when we started the conversation, you said you wanted to bring this biotech ecosystem feeling and energy also to Japan. Like, you started the company there because it was already there, some kind of new life science biotech ecosystem evolving. If not, I assume you were able to develop it together, like you are part of this ecosystem over the years. So
yes, so I think I established my company in Sapporo, they have a meaning. So in Sapporo, many nice University, Hokkaido University, and there are many, many good potential technology or seed of the science. Or, but there is no pharmaceutical company, there is no biotech company in Sapporo. And there is some gap from the academia and the global pharma and big biotech company. So someone bring the new early stage project or new seed from the academic, and we can manage to some stages and then transfer to the big pharma and the global biotech company. So I want to become the hub, or I want to become the incubator to from the academic science to the professional pharmaceutical field. So initially, and maybe that in Tokyo and the Osaka area, there is some company. But in Sapporo, there's no such a company.
I never heard about Sapporo. I know about Osaka. Yes. There were also some bio events, I think, in the last years. But I haven't heard about it. It's probably because there are not so many companies except your company.
Yes, so I think not Todai, not Osaka University, not Kyoto University. There is many, many nice university in local area in Japan. But many, there's few or no biotech company pick up such a unique science and to challenge to realize to commercialization and marketing. So I want to become, this is the first ecosystem to and then we can transfer to the global pharma and global biotech company. We can make a line from academic to the commercial field.
I understand.
And another point is the human resources. So there are many, many good students and good talent people, scientists in university, the freshmen, but they cannot stay in Hokkaido. They want, because there is no biotech company, there is no pharmaceutical company. They love Sapporo, they love Hokkaido, but they have to move to Tokyo. So that I create new job opportunity, so that my ambitious that to generate, to expand to the biotech company in Sapporo.
It's a nice, it's a great commitment, I think, because you're building again something new, right? From your experience, and you share what you do also right now, share your experience. So if you, let's talk about those students and PhDs who maybe want to start a company or think about how to manage their scientific work and maybe start a biotech company. So you started in 2006, I think. Persistence and staying in the game, let's say, is very important, not giving up. But what were, as a founder, specific insights or skills that you learned specifically as an entrepreneur?
I said we need to find a new colleague, new friend. So in Japan, the scientist has not good communication skill. But I think like me, so I hesitate to talk with some new strange person, but I have a scientist. I am a scientist, but I don't know the fundraising. I don't know the managing human resource. So that we can find a new person to, and that they, I want to involve them to involve to the company. So I think not only science, so we need a skill to communicate with anybody. And I think communication anytime. So I think new communication give us a new opportunity to the grow the company. Indeed, I have two angel investor, mm-hmm. and so I didn't know well before, but coincidentally I met them and I speak them, and then they become our angel investor. So I think not only the science, I'm sure that the communication skill is very important to, and breakthrough to the tough timing. Any tough time, so there are many, many tough timing during the 17 years. And but meet with some new person, we can solve. They give some idea. Sometimes they gave some fund. And I think entrepreneur, especially the scientists, sometimes scientists very, very concentrate on that own science, and they don't want to communicate. But I'm not sure that US-based, European-based scientists maybe they communicate well, but especially Japanese scientists, it's not good skill, not good at the communication skill, but contact with new person gave new opportunity and breakthrough. I feel that this is the best learning from the 17 years.
It's probably a phenomenon in science in general that you're very focused, but you also want to have things to be perfect before you communicate.
Mm-hmm.
This, it's not always helpful. Generally, they're not perfect. And I like this idea that you said we should communicate in order to solve problems together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only me with a solution, so bringing people together and solve the problems. And regarding the GPCR field, what do you see in terms of new and emerging technologies that can, I mean, that's a very traditional target space, GPCRs, but are there some new technologies or new trends in this field that, your technology platform is already doing transformational research, but are there maybe other technologies or trends that you can share with us?
So GPCR field is, I said, a kind of revival. So 1980, many pharmaceutical is focused on GPCR drug discovery, and many money is invested the GPCR. And then after the 21st century, the many people left from the GPCR field.
Mm-hmm.
But indeed, I said GPCR, targeting GPCR is very highly, what's the probability of success compared to the other target? And especially the, I'm not sure that gene therapy or other cell therapy, but targeting GPCRs, we have a last 13 years, we have a good track record to generate generate medicine. So mm-hmm. that, but as I said, current the small molecule has limited to generate to the new drug for GPCR. So I think even the target revival, but the technology itself quite brand new, and we can expand the GPCR monoclonal antibody field in the next year or in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. I understand. And last question, if you have a wish for the entrepreneurship in biotech in Japan, what would it be?
Yes, so we need two things to the in Japanese biotech society, that many people can easily move to company. So many, as I said, I was a stupid guy some researcher joined to the big pharma, but they moved to the biotech company and they can move back to the big company. And I need a flexibility to the person from the less compared to the US and Europe, the less flexibility in the, even the younger generation, less flexibility to moving the company. And the second thing is the fundraising. So indeed, Japanese society has the money in the big company and keep the money, but they don't want to somehow invest to the new thing. And I think they establish company or establishment more invest new technology, new idea. So I think in Japan, there's many new idea, and the Japanese science very nice, but human resource and risk money short of running. short.
I understand.
So if two things solve, the Japanese biotech society is very rapidly growth because potential, they have a scientific potential.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I can only confirm when I read some papers from Japan that it's really advanced. But in order to make it scale, it requires what you said, knowledge, flexibility, and funds to implement those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Kiyoshi, for our listeners, what's the best way to reach out to you? Using the website or your LinkedIn profile?
Yes, you can find a LinkedIn. I have a LinkedIn account. Also, you can access to our website. We have some inquire site to accept any question.
All right. In this episode, our guest was Kiyoshi Takayama, who is the founder and president of NB Health Laboratory from Sapporo in Japan. NB Health Laboratory is dedicated to developing therapeutics by targeting GPCRs using monoclonal antibodies. Thank you so much, Kiyoshi, for joining us today on Founders in Biotech.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.